And a while back, I was given a topic by the admin, and they wanted to speak to you about the role of the teachers that we are training. What sort of teachers should they be? What are we doing? What's the reason? And when they graduate, what kind of teachers should we expect to send out into this world? And so, just a brief outline of the history of the education program. CABU welcomed the first trainee teachers in 2016. That the students came in 2016 is not an afterthought at all. From inception, in 2004, the education program was actually destined to happen. It was going to be here. And so, this and that happened. And from 2004, after the plans had been put into place, CABU opened the doors in 2016 to the first trainee teachers. And the whole idea was that we are not in competition with any other college or any other university. Our program was going to be different from all the programs that we have out there. Our teachers were going to be different. But how different are they going to be? This is what I'm going to speak about. And I have titled my message that what sort of teacher is CABU intending to produce? What sort of teacher is CABU intending to produce? And for those of you that might want to take a nap after hearing this title, because you think you're not in the education program, please don't. Because CABU is in the business of producing servant leaders who must go out there and share the word. And therefore, to share that word means you must be a teacher. And so each one of us that is seated here, if you are a student here and you graduate from this place, you are expected to be a teacher in one way or another. And we see this, you might say, how? I'm not a teacher. Turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 28. In case you are wondering that you are not a teacher and this is not for you. Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 and 20. And we know about this passage. It's very common to us. It's very common to us. Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations by baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. Now, this passage gives us Christ's threefold command. And I hope you can see that from what you have read. The commands, make disciples, baptize them, and teach them in verse 20. And so, we see the teaching part. This has widely been acclaimed by all believers, that this is a command that involves each one of us who is here. And therefore, we are all teachers. Paul and other apostles deployed a simple strategy, which Paul described to Timothy. And 2 Timothy now, turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 2. And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. And at the core of this passage is one word, teaching. Teaching. But the critical point I would like to point out is, who does the teaching? who does the teaching. And from our passage, is it the apostles and the prophets? Yes, because they did the initial teaching. But is it also other church leaders, the elders? Should they do the teaching? Definitely yes. But what about other believers like you and I? Like the person sitting next to you, do we find a place in God's master plan? Are we teachers too? And the answer is a resounding yes. We are. The things that we learn, the things that we hear, we must teach others also. And therefore, every one of us here is a teacher. And listen, if you're sitting and listening to me, you are a teacher. You are a teacher in one way or another. And so, what sort of teacher is CABU intending to produce? Number one, a teacher who has a strong sense of mission. A teacher who has a strong sense of a mission. You need to know your mission. And the mission here is defined as the task, the duty, the business that God has charged you with. It's the task, the duty, the business that God has charged you with. Having a strong sense of mission means you need to have a good and strong understanding of why you are in the classroom. You need to have a good understanding. If I asked you, why are you a teacher? Well, some might say, I want to educate children. Good reason. I want to run the school sometime in the future. Good reason too. I want to put food on the table. That's a good reason too. But if those are the only reasons that you have, then you've missed it. Then you've missed it. There are good reasons, but if that's all you know and that's all you have, then you've missed it. I'm hoping that on top of the list would be that God has called you to teach. God has called you to teach. Do not make this mistake of saying you are here by accident or you are going to be a teacher by accident. God has called you to teach. You need to know this in your heart. You need to know this in your heart because this is going to be helpful when learners turn out to be nasty. When learners do not do their homework and you feel discouraged. And when you ask them, the assignment that I gave you, where is it? I wrote on a piece of paper. Where is the piece of paper? I left it home. And suddenly there will be times when you feel discouraged. You need to know that God has called you to the classroom. That is going to be very helpful to you. As a Christian teacher, your mission as a teacher needs to go beyond just teaching academics. Listen to this. As a Christian teacher, your mission as a teacher needs to go beyond just teaching academics. You need to know that God has called you to the classroom. And since God has called you to the classroom, as you get there, you need to talk about Christ. And we are very fortunate in Zambia that you can go to class and you can still talk about the love of Christ. There are places in this world where that is not possible. You can't. And this window might not last forever. There might come a time in Zambia when we may not be allowed to do that. But in Zambia, it is still possible. And so as a teacher, see your classroom as your mission field. See your classroom as a mission field. Help your learners to see Christ in all the subjects that you teach. You will be teaching many subjects, but in each of those subjects, help your learners to see Christ. And so, I teach mathematics. And in mathematics, I should be able to let my learners see Christ in everything that I teach. They should see God. Where you are seated, I've seen men, Brian and the others, actually put these rows where they are, and you can see how beautiful they are. There was a bit of mathematics here. I've actually seen the men measuring a distance apart, COVID. And so that's mathematics. They were very careful to measure this. And why? It gives us order. My students must see God's hand in all this. That God is a God of order. And he gives us the ability to measure things. And he's a master mathematician. Ever wondered about the distance that is between the earth and the sun? Have you wondered about that? The earth goes round the sun. And it takes about 365 days to complete that rotation. And so it goes through that orbit. And so the sun is here. And God, using that measurement that we use as well, causes the earth to move round the sun. And it is at a certain distance, about 150 million kilometers away from the sun. And God has done it in such a way that this distance is not so far away from the sun and not so near. Because what would happen? If it was very close, if the earth was very close to the sun, it would open. And if it's very far away, it would all freeze. And so there is mathematics in that. When I am talking to my students, and I'm just giving one example about this, they should be able, I should let them know, that this mathematics that I am teaching them, God is involved in this. And even as you sit here, you must be aware that the earth is moving. You are moving, actually. You are. And you are moving at a speed of 30 kilometers per second. I'm a mathematician. 30 kilometers per second. That's the speed, although you don't feel it, and you may not be aware, you are actually moving. And so, you might be teaching physical education and sports. PES. Let your students know that even in PES, God is involved. As they do their exercises, as they stretch their limbs, talk to them about who has given them those limbs. Who has given them the ability to stretch those limbs. Talk to them about that. So it shouldn't just be a subject. Yeah, let's go for first and you go for first. See how God is involved in what they are doing. In civic education, we learn about authority. As you teach them about authority, talk to them about the authority that God has placed over you. And what does God's word say? Obey those in authority. Pray for them. Let them know these little things. And at the end, they are major. And if you're teaching home economics, true, God is involved there. And so your teacher, you practicals, right? There are cakes there. You bake cakes, and they are nice. But tell your learners that even though God has given this, God also expects us not to overeat. The cakes are nice. And I'm saying this, Mama Lisa is here. Please keep them flowing, huh? Let them come. So, the cakes are nice, but we must talk to them about the sin of gluttony. Because if they eat like there is no tomorrow, that is sin. That is sin. And so we can involve God and talk to our children about God in all the subjects that we teach. And the Proverbs 23, chapter 23 and verse 20 to 21 warns us. Proverbs chapter 23, verses 20 to 21 warns us. Do not join those who drink too much wine, or gorge themselves on meat. Gorge themselves on meat. You know, gorging themselves like there is no tomorrow. 21, for drunkards and gluttons become poor, and drowsiness clothes them in rags. God has given us and has blessed us with foods that are delicious and pleasurable. But we need to remember that we must not overeat. We must control our eating habits. And in fact, the Bible tells us, control your tempers. Instead, encourage them to share what you have bet. God expects us to share. So let your learners see Christ in all the subjects that you teach them. That is being part, that is knowing and being mission-minded. A teacher who has a strong sense of mission does not hide his or her faith. Doesn't hide at all. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus tells his listeners, Matthew chapter 5, 14 to 16, Sermon on the Mount, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." A teacher who has a strong sense of mission will remember that he is a light which cannot be hidden. So where you get posted, let everyone know. Let everyone know. And to know where it's dark, the light shines even more. And so be a teacher who, when they say, "Who's going to close for us in a word of prayer?" Put up your hand. Don't be like everybody else and you look down. Don't. Let them know. Let them know. Let them know that you are the light. Do you know what will be tragic? It's you are posted to that school and they say, "Can you please close for us?" And then you hide and you do nothing. That would be tragic. That would be tragic. Strive to be that light. Strive to be that light. What sort of teacher is CABU intending to produce? Number two, a teacher who strives for excellency. Number two, a teacher who strives for excellency. If you want to have a big impact, you need to gain the respect of your learners, your fellow teachers, and the administrators. You need to. One way to do that is by pursuing excellency. That's one way you do that. And you cannot do this if I must recommend this to you, that your mission of work comes from Colossians chapter 3, verse 23. Turn there. You must seek to do your best for Christ. You must seek to do your best for Christ. And so you strive for excellency. So your philosophy of work should be what Paul says in chapter 3, verse 23. Colossians chapter 3, verse 23. "And whatever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not to men." Whatever you do. Whatever you do. And the implications. There are implications if this becomes your philosophy of work. So this verse tells me not to do anything for the sake of just doing it. Not to do anything to check it off the list and push it away. That's what it tells me. It tells me that whatever I do, I must do my best. That's what it tells me. I need to put my heart into it. Whatever I do, I need to put my heart into it. My aim should be to please God. That should be my aim. Because ultimately, it's God who is going to judge. In today's work culture, the principle of working hard is slowly getting outdated. It's getting outdated. And especially working hard when your supervisor is not around. And so, Pastor Hans, Pastor Sandala, not yet. If this is not your philosophy of work, what would you do? Go. It's what the adage says in English. When the cat is away, and so the two big cats are away, we must play. If this is your philosophy of work, it tells you that whatever you do, you are doing it to please God. You are doing it to please God. And what does it mean? It says whatever. So if I give you that assignment, go and do this assignment. It is not about that assignment. It is about who you are doing it for. Do you get that? It's about who you are doing it for. And so if you say, "I'm going to do it quickly and give it back to me," you have missed it. And this is not your philosophy of work. Remember, it is not just me that you are doing that assignment for. Whatever you do, including that assignment that you've been given, do it as if you are doing it for the Lord. And so this is good. And it also means when you go to that school, you report for work on time. And while you are here, it means you report to class on time. That is what you are going to do. And so, even when your teacher is not in class, you work. You are going to work. It's not a question of saying, well, he's out now, she's out, and so let me start playing. That will not be the issue. Why? Because you remember that whatever you do, you are doing it for the Lord. You want to please him. You want to please him. And that assignment that you are bringing to me, primarily it's not about me. Is God happy? Because this verse tells me, whatever you do, and that includes the assignment. Is God happy? If you don't have it in time, is God happy with you? He's not. He's not. And so, this perspective changes everything. It is amazing to know that when you work hard on the assignment I've given you, you are actually working hard for the Lord. When you work hard for the assignment that I've given to you, you are actually working hard for the Lord. What sort of a teacher is CAB intending to produce? One, a teacher has a strong sense of mission. Two, a teacher who strives for excellency. And three, a teacher who has a biblical world view. The kind of teacher that we are intending to produce here is a teacher who has a biblical world view. And CABU has objectives. We have institutional objectives. And then we have school objectives. So the Bible program has objectives. The education program has objectives too. And one of the objectives of the education program is that CABU students would be competent to teach primary subjects, all primary subjects, from a biblical worldview. What we think shapes who we are. And that's why the Bible tells us, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. That's Romans 12, chapter 2. And with a biblical worldview, you can now think biblically. You can only think biblically with a biblical worldview. You don't have that, you can't, however hard you may try. And so the course designed by Pastor Tim for the education students is actually one way of trying to achieve this. The course that you guys are doing is designed to help you to have a biblical worldview. So what is a worldview? Every one of us has one. Every one of us, each one of us here, we have a worldview. It affects how we interpret life, how we respond to situations that come our way. And John MacArthur defines the worldview as a conceptual scheme by which we consciously or unconsciously place or fit everything we believe and by which we interpret and judge reality. Each one of us starts with a worldview. And we start with presuppositions. That is beliefs that one presumes to be true without supporting independent evidence from other sources or systems. And therein lies whatever is wrong with the worldview. It's unsupported. And it changes. And it's different from one locality to another. And not just that. What we thought was true, what we thought we should do 10 years ago, will be different today. That's the problem with the worldview. And therefore, what is appropriate? It's a biblical worldview. And why is it appropriate? Because you look through the lens of Scripture. As you look at the world, as you look at the things that happen to you, you are using the lens. And so CABU intends to produce a teacher who embraces a biblical worldview. Why? Because the biblical worldview answers crucial questions that the teacher and his or her learners should know with confidence. Many questions as you go out there and you start teaching. A biblical worldview is going to address those. For example, how did the world and all that is in it come into being? You need to know how you will answer that. You need to know, how did this world and everything that is in it, how did it come into being? What is the nature of a human being? What is the nature of a human being? The little ones that you are going to teach, is your view that they are too sweet to be sinners? No, these little ones, they haven't known anything yet. They are too sweet to be sinners. Is that your view? A biblical worldview will provide answers for that. Or, what is one's personal purpose of existence? Why do you exist? Last week we were told, some exist to achieve the Zambian dream. You remember last week? Is that the reason for your existence? To achieve that Zambian dream? And remember, just in case you are not here, finish school, go to UNSA, get a job, get married, buy a plot. Is that your reason for existence? A biblical worldview addresses questions like, how should one live? Do you live like you're the master? Your own master? What about questions like, what happens to a person after death? What happens to a person after death? Do they go to the land of the forefathers? What causes death? And so what's your view? So we classify death, natural death and natural death. The natural death, we say it's caused by God. And natural death is caused by witchcraft. Is that your view? You need to have a biblical worldview to answer questions like that. When I die, is it now time for me to be part of the ancestors? You know the ancestors? The ones that run the affairs of the world, of the living. And so you die, you become an ancestor, and you start running the affairs of those that are still living. Is that what you think? Or do I go on living when I die and my grandson is named after me? What kind of views do you have? What addresses questions like this? It's having a biblical world view. What sort of a teacher is CAB intending to produce? One, a teacher who has a strong sense of mission. Two, a teacher who strives for excellency. Three, a teacher who has a biblical worldview. Four, a teacher who puts into practice the house daily. H-O-W-S. And we keep drumming this into ourselves, into you. The house. Honesty. Obedience. Wisdom. Service. And so, CABU intends to produce a teacher who puts into practice these house. They are not here for window dressing at all. They are not. And honesty refers to being transparent with God and others. No hypocrisy. No window dressing. Keep your word. Keep your commitments. Let your yes be yes. Your no be no. That's what we mean. Are you such a person? That's the kind of teacher that we intend. And so, while we are talking about being honest, avoid plagiarism. Avoid plagiarism. Avoid that. Avoid leakage. That's what being honest. Avoid. And when you do something stupid like putting graffiti on a new, come forward. We'd actually be very happy if you come and say, I'm very sorry. I don't know. I was stupid. I wrote this. Rather than when you keep quiet. Because our hearts bleed. There is someone sitting here. We are trying to do this. Goes ahead. And never comes and says, please forgive me. I was stupid. This is what I did. We are intending to produce a teacher who will say, I am sorry. This is what I did. And that would make us actually a lot happier. It would. So how does obedience look like at CABU? It means obey at the right time. Time when you are told to do something. Because delayed obedience is disobedience. Obey with the right attitude. Complaining as you do the assignment or as you had in the assignment is not obedience. It's not. As you do that assignment, always complaining. And so when we say, well, let's do this. No, we have several assignments and you complain, you know. And then when you hand in, you are still complaining. That is not obedience. God is actually, and he cares about your heart. He knows what's in your heart as you do that. So he just doesn't care about your action. The fact that you've handed in the assignment. He cares about what's in your heart, even as you hand in that assignment. And so we do have wisdom and we do have sense. Practice those daily. Practice those daily. What sort of a teacher is CAB intending to produce? One, a teacher who has a strong sense of mission. A teacher who strives for excellency. A teacher who has a biblical worldview. A teacher who puts into practice the house daily. And number five, a teacher who teaches for the heart, not just outward behavior. A teacher who teaches for the heart, not just outward behavior. So what do I mean? We have an important question to ask ourselves. Are we more concerned with what's in the learner's heart or just with their outward behavior? We intend to produce a teacher who is more concerned with what's in the heart and not with the outward behavior. Are we more concerned with ECZ results? We have had 100% through and through, and so we want 100% through and through. And yeah, we came close. We had 100%. Is that what we are concerned with? Are we more concerned with that? Yes, good. Academics are good, and those results are good. But is that what we are more concerned with? I'll tell you something. CABU is not interested in those results above what's in your heart. It's not. If we get 100% results, and your heart is still unchanged, we have missed it. And we will not say we have gained. We will not. And I want you to know this. If all we do is manage 100% from each one of you, you pass with distinctions, and yet your heart is unchanged, we have missed it. We would rather Kitwa College does that then. That's their business. The only reason why we are into this is so that we can change the hearts. That's the only reason. If it wasn't that, we are going to leave teaching to KCE, Kitwa College of Education. We are going to do that. Why should we be in it? The only reason we're in it is that this is a discipleship program. We intend to reach out to your heart. So that you also, as you go to teach in your primary classroom, you reach out for the hearts of those little ones. That's the only reason. That's the only reason. And we intend to do that. And so this is the reason why we have chapel weekly. It's one of the reasons. So that we keep bringing God's word to you. It's the reason we have this mentorship program. Soon we are going to start that during lunch. Why? Always aiming for the heart. Always aiming for that. That's why we have all those things. And remember that what you do will tell us more about who you are. We do have interviews. And we want those that are Christians. And so you may get through by using the right word. But soon it shows. It shows. Your heart is filthy. It's unchanged. Do your actions line up with what you say you believe? Do they? Are your actions confessing Jesus louder than your words? And so, we want you to aim for the hearts of those children. This is the kind of teacher that we want to produce here. It's not primarily about results. We want a teacher who does not think of putting food on the table first. Remember, as I conclude, that when you go to your class, it has to be clear in your mind, in your heart, that God has placed you there. Once you are convinced beyond reasonable doubt that God has placed you there, then you are ready to start addressing the hearts that God has put in front of you. And so, what sort of a teacher is CAB intending to produce? One, a teacher who has a strong sense of mission. Two, a teacher who strives for excellency. Three, A teacher who has a biblical worldview. 4, a teacher who puts into practice the house daily. And lastly, a teacher who teaches for the heart, not just for outward behavior. Amen.